Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Today's one is especially for our friends at Frame. Today we're going to be talking about the loving way of dating. And the reason why it's so important to come from a loving place when we look at dating is that a lot of the time we, without realizing it, come from a place of fear where we approach dating as a job interview. There's a lot of pressure and you imagine sitting at a table opposite someone and grilling them or them grilling you. And for some other people, they're actually just quite bored of dating. And what we've discovered is that a lot of the help out there actually plays on your fears and plays on your insecurities around dating. So today is all about showing you how to step out of that space, out of that fearful space, and how to step into a loving space when it comes to dating. Now, one person who found dating absolutely terrifying is sitting right opposite me, Selina Barker.
Oh, hi there.
Tell me a bit about how that was for you.
Oh my God. Well, to be honest, I didn't actually really start dating until I was in my 30s, partly because I found it so terrifying. In my 20s, I probably had exactly two dates, and both of which I think I got so tongue-tied, and either I just got myself really, really drunk, or I think one of them I managed to get myself out of there within about 20 minutes because I was just dying inside. I couldn't bear it. And I think there were so many different things going on. I was 100% coming from a place of fear. And the more fearful I felt about being rejected, about not being fancied, about the pressure I'd put on myself, that this person had to really like me, because if they didn't, then it really said something about me as a whole person. That's how much weight I put on it. The desperation I felt at the time to really meet someone, I very much came from a fearful place around the urgency to be with someone so that I could feel loved. And, you know, I had that biological clock ticking from about the age of 21. So that carried on through and put extraordinary amounts of pressure on my whole dating experience through my 20s and 30s. But literally when I sat across from someone in a date situation, I had all of that stuff going on in the background. I definitely wasn't being relaxed and chilled out. I certainly didn't think I could just be myself. Yeah. I absolutely thought I needed to be more of this, less of that. And I put, again, huge amounts of pressure on myself to sort of show this perfect person that I wanted to be and thought I had to be in order to be loved. So, I mean, all of this stuff now with hindsight, I see that was going on. At the time, I had no idea. I just felt terrified at both the idea of dating and going on dates, but the idea of online dating. I just thought if I had to resort to online dating, then what a low place I had fallen to if I were ever to get to that place. Now, through my own Project Love journey, I really did go from a place, that stronghold in a place of fear, right through into a place of love. So that by the end of it, I was in a place when it came to dating where I was really relaxed, really enjoying it. You know, I suddenly saw that this was just an opportunity to connect with other human beings. They didn't have to be the one.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't need them to fancy me or want to be with me in order to validate myself. It wasn't a matter of winning the date somehow by having them want to go on another date with me. It was more an opportunity to meet someone, see if there was a connection, and if there wasn't, well, maybe I'd have a good conversation with someone. And certainly would step into it from a place of relaxedness, warmth, friendliness and love. And I really did have some wonderful dating experiences, even when I walked away with both of us thinking or saying even, and that was the beauty of it, being honest and open and saying, you know, this has been great, but best of luck. Let's not do it again. And so I've dated from a place of fear and I've dated from a place of love. They are very, very different places. Now, one thing that we both noticed is that a lot of the advice, like you said, is really does actually play into those fears. And I just want to give a few examples. And these, genuinely, we picked these up off quite well-known blogs of big kind of dating experts. Things like, attract him and change him this way.
He'll fall in love with you if you change this one thing. This is a weird one. Turn his anger into passion for you. The 5 do's and don'ts of getting him to commit to you. And then this one, how to get a guy to like you. 5 mistakes women make. So just taking that last one, how to get a guy to like you. 5 mistakes women make. If I send you into a dating scenario with that as your guidance, you're thinking, first of all, oh my God, I could make mistakes. Thank God this person has come to save me and show me how I can avoid making these mistakes. Your whole time you're thinking about, okay, I mustn't make these mistakes. And therefore you're going into a dating situation being calculating, probably being manipulative if you're doing things like how to get him literally addicted to you. It's another blog post recently by a dating expert. So it's all about manipulation. I mean, there's an actual course, a very well-known one, which I did sign up to in my 20s, called How to Catch a Guy and Keep Him. So just in that, how to catch someone and then keep them interested.
Mm.
Not about how to open yourself up to love, how to, you know, date the loving way, but how to actually go out there, hunt someone down, and then keep them, you know, trapped in your sort of spellbound bubble of, I don't know, manipulation.
Mm.
It's crazy, but most of the dating advice that's out there does tend to be along those lines.
And as much as the advice out there that we just mentioned plays on people's fears and insecurities, it also comes from a place of scarcity. So the one is a popular myth. You start dating to find the one.
Mm.
And dating then just becomes a means to an end.
Absolutely.
Of finding just one person, as if there's only one person in the whole world that you could be attracted to.
And is it this person?
Yeah.
And how quickly can I find that out? Before moving on to the next one if it's not.
So then imagine you go in with this shopping list of requirements. You're going to be, you're literally on red alert. Whatever they say or however they react, you're going to be almost testing them. So then you're literally going into a date with tunnel vision, like, right, okay, just waiting for them to fuck up, which, you know, isn't a great experience for you, but also isn't a great experience for your date as well, because they could probably pick up on that you've got such a judging hat on.
Coming from a place of judgment.
Yeah. I read recently about this myth of the one. It actually says that you're quite difficult to get along with if there's only one person in the world that you could be with. And
I love that.
Of course there's not just one person. I think once you open up to the idea of there being multiple people that you could just sit and have a connection with, you could sit and have a coffee with, sit and have a chat with, you actually come from a very different place, and that's a place of abundance. And that's the place that we want to get you in. It's the really loving space, a very open space, where dating is actually, you can use online dating as a tool for growth, and we talk more about that in the course, in our Get Ready for Love course, of how it's not just a means to an end. You can really enjoy the experience of dating, but you can learn so much about yourself through the experience of dating. It's not just about the other person, it's actually about you.
Yeah, just picking up on something you just said earlier, Vicky, about going into a dating scenario with an idea of what you're looking for and then assessing people against that, measuring people against that. One of the things we always get people, now I'm going to give you something from our course, but one of the things that we always get people to do is to write down all the things they've got in their head of, like, this is what I need in a partner. How they look, what they do for a job, what their personality is like. And write down as many things that they've got in their head and get them to completely get rid of that list. Because if you're going into a dating situation where you've got a really clear picture of what you think you want in a relationship, you're immediately going to be measuring people up against it, and you're giving absolutely no opportunity to see if in reality, when you drop judgments and you drop expectations, if there really is a connection. If you've got all that going on in your head, you can't tell if there's a connection or not. In the same way as you have to go into a dating situation allowing yourself to be vulnerable. Yes, it's going to come with feeling nervous, but there are ways to deal with the nerves. And actually, there's something quite beautiful and quite touching about someone being a bit nervous, rather than someone going in full armor, all balls in, like, yeah, I can ace this, this dating. I'm going to nail this date, and I'm going to get you to love me. Terrifying. But what we found when speaking to people and interviewing people, in fact, who are in really happy, healthy relationships, is that actually the vast majority of them didn't end up with the kinds of people they imagined that they would. So it was once they got rid of that list, once they got rid of that shopping list,
and allowed people to just show up in their space and gave people a chance, they actually then ended up finding the person that was perfect for them, even though, and I'm definitely one of those people. So I had a very clear list of things that I wanted and things that I didn't want. The person I ended up with ticked a lot of the things on my must not list. And it was only once I got rid of that and gave him a chance. And actually a year before, I remember you, Vicky, saying to me, do you think a year ago, before you went through your own Project Love journey, do you think you would have gone on a date with him? And I said, I don't think I would have, because I would have immediately written him off because he didn't match what I had in my head was that I thought would be the right kind of partner for me. And so what we always say is you think, you might think you know what your type is. You might even think you know what kind of guy that you will be attracted to is, but actually you don't. What we find is people don't really know what they can be attracted to. And the more you think you do, the more you're actually blocking yourself from seeing the right people when they do pass you by. So a loving way of dating is very much about dropping your expectations, dropping the shopping list, and going in with an open heart and an open mind.
Okay, so here are a few of our tips on how you can get started on approaching dating the loving way. So the first point then is following on what Selena just said about being open to being surprised at who you could be attracted to. So as a number one tip, if you do have an idea of who you think you're going to be attracted to, whether it's their personality traits, attributes, what they do for a living, what they look like, all of that stuff, I'd like you to write it down on a piece of paper, and then I'd like you to take that piece of paper and rip it up. And there's something really nice and ceremonious about doing this. And honestly, by doing this, it will really open your mind and open your heart as to who you could be attracted to on your next date.
And one thing I would say is, so you don't suddenly feel like, oh my God, now I'm completely lost as to what I want and what to look for, et cetera, is, and this again is something that we really take you through in the Get Ready for Love course. But it's actually, rather than think about what you want the other person to be like, think about how you want to feel. How do you want to feel in that relationship? And anchor yourself in that and use that as your guidance, not some image of some ideal person who doesn't actually, probably doesn't even exist in reality. So the second point, and I love this one, is give up the game. Because my God, do we find people are still out there playing a game. And what's amazing is how much our friends seem to encourage us to play a game. And I have this all the time. People say, oh, you got to play it cool. No, don't. You've got to wait a few days before you respond to that text. And all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, if you step into a relationship playing a game, then it just doesn't set you up for an honest and open relationship. And ultimately, that is what you want if you want a happy and healthy one. So, I mean, the whole idea, the reason that people try to play dating with a set of rules, again, comes back to the need for control, the feeling that you need to manipulate the situation to get someone to like you, as if being yourself wouldn't be enough. That is always what the problem comes down to, is a lot of feeling at the bottom of it, because we've all got this in some places, in some way, is that feeling that we're not enough. So therefore we think, okay, well, how do I play this game to get someone to like me? And again, if you go back to a lot of the dating advice out there, it plays into that. It tells you rules to play by. How to get a hot guy to give you his number. It's just like, what do you mean, how to get someone to do anything? It's like, surely we should just be opening up and seeing who we naturally connect with. So what we always say is, if you're going to play any game, play the game of honesty, play the game of vulnerability, and absolutely play the game of being you and being real. Because when you turn up into a dating situation like that, and you turn up allowing yourself to be real, and you turn up not judging the other person, not having expectations, you give them the space to be real. And that's such a beautiful gift to give to people. And it's something that we suggest you start doing straight away. Even if you haven't got a date set up, start doing this with all the people that you know, particularly when you're meeting new people. Just practice at being yourself without trying to be more of or less of, and just dare to be you, and then see who gets attracted into your space, and trust that the right people will do.
So the third point is to top up on inspiration and feed up on real love stories. Because what we found with the women that we help is that sometimes it's not a case of dating nerves that's the problem. It's actually dating numbness and boredom with the whole thing. It's just a bit meh, a bit blah. And often what you need then is to really feed up on inspiration to get you feeling excited about the kind of relationship that you want. Mm. And there's some great channels out there. One of them's called Global Glue. And it's a collection of people, and they go around the world hearing from people in all ages, all different scenarios. Mm. And they want to find out the glue that holds couples together. So there's some beautiful love stories on there. We're big fans of these guys. There's also a guy called Nate Bagley, who runs Loveumentary, and he also travelled around America interviewing couples from different backgrounds, different ages. There's some beautiful love stories there.
And of course, our own real love stories as well.
And yes, on our own SoundCloud page, there's a few real love stories there from couples in London hearing about the glue that holds them together, but also about how they were before they got into those happy and healthy relationships, their own journey into those
as well.
We always say that it helps if the woman in the relationship has a similar vibe to you, because another myth is that, you know, all the good guys are gone. And feeding up on these love stories actually dispels that myth, because it's like, hang on, there are great guys out there that are with women just like me. So
it can happen. Yeah. And another myth that people often have is, oh, men aren't attracted to women like me. Men are intimidated by women like me, for example. And so again, if you look for examples of women like you who are with great guys, it's like, oh, actually, there's inspiration that it does happen. And I think the thing to point out here is that this is not about then making yet another shopping list of this is what I want my relationship to be like. Could this person be the right, you know, and therefore this is what they need to be like. But it's just to remind you of the very real relationships that are out there. Yeah. And it's good to listen as well to that's why I love, you know, our real love stories, because you do listen to the struggles that people overcame.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't all happen the way we're told in Hollywood and sort of Disney romances and fairy tales. It's not all easy, and it's not all sort of, you know, covered in fairy dust, that people do have to step over themselves sometimes and drop their expectations and things like that. So yeah, it's about finding examples of relationships that get you excited about real relationships again. I think the emphasis has to be on the real relationships rather than getting caught up in fantasy.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next tip, and this is one that we love, and we have so much of our Get Ready for Love courses about this, but it is, as well as dating other people, don't forget to date yourself. So we are all about the importance of learning to cultivate love in your own life, really being your own personal love factory, so that you are the source of love in your life. And this is absolutely key to all of this love stuff, whether you're in a relationship or not. And particularly when it comes to dating, because dating is hard. I mean, no matter which way you look at it, even if you're coming from a loving place, it is a roller coaster of emotions, and it does take a lot of energy. And so it's really important that as you're going through this, you're really topping yourself up with love. Mm. You're doing things daily that give you a sense of being loved, because you're giving yourself daily acts of love, pampering yourself, giving yourself little treats, but also taking yourself out on dates and treating yourself to things that make you happy and make you come alive. For two reasons. First of all, like I just said, dating can be exhausting. You need to keep that energy up. But also, when you're in that space where you're really feeling alive, you're excited about the life that you're living right here, right now, you turn up on a date and where they say to you, so, you know, what do you do? What do you get up to? You can talk about things with enthusiasm rather than one client said to me, she's like, I go to a date and people will say to me, so, you know, what are you doing on the weekend? And all I can think is nothing, because I'm desperately waiting for someone to do stuff with. Will you be that person? She's just like, I don't have anything exciting to talk about. So it is really important that you feed yourself up with the things that make you happy, the things that make you come alive. Even if we weren't talking about dating, we'd be telling you to do that, because the most important thing you can be doing for yourself is feeding yourself with love.
And that needs to be the foundation on which you build any kind of fulfilling relationship that you want in life.
Yeah.
So our fifth and final tip is to explore and experiment with different ways of meeting people. So online dating is just one of the ways that you can meet people. And we really encourage clients to explore and experiment with different ways. So it could be you try online dating and experiment with it in a very light way. So it's not like the only tool out there for you to meet people, but it can be a really good one and people can be really successful in using it if you approach it the right way. But another way is to ask your friends and get your friends on board to help you out. So it could be, right, okay, I've selected you three as my matchmakers.
Yeah.
And don't think that you need to find my dream guy. Just think, like, who could I sit and have a chat with and have quite a nice time with, maybe just have a coffee with? Like, you know, don't put so much pressure on it being like an evening of the theatre and a three-course meal. Like,
God, no, not with the first date. That shouldn't be more than about an hour, I would say. I always say the first date, half an hour at coffee, done. If you want to see each other again, great. Organise something longer term, but keep the first date, particularly if it's a blind date, to a really short window of time.
Yeah, and it means then you're not putting all your eggs in one basket, you're not putting all your energy and hopes into this one meeting. You just up the frequency, so maybe you have a few of these coffees every month to just really go out there and meet with different people. Yeah, online dating is a fantastic tool, but it gets a really bad reputation, and we're big fans of it, and we're even big fans of Tinder, but it's all about the approach.
It is all about the approach, and in our course Get Ready for Love we do a whole section on how to approach online dating the right way, because I think that if you approach it the wrong way, then it can become a really horrible experience, and it feels just like, you know, Tinder can feel just like a place for hookups.
Yeah.
But actually approaching it in a loving way and approaching it in a different way, it can actually become an opportunity to just meet interesting, like-minded people.
Yeah. So another thing that we get clients to do is to get out there and do fun activities that you really enjoy that will also have you meeting new people, because one of the most disheartening things is to obviously go out and do things just to meet people. And this way, you're doing stuff that you would love anyway that will also have you meeting people. Because there's nothing like connecting with people through a common interest, so something that you enjoy. And it could be something you already know you enjoy, or maybe it's a new activity that you've always wanted to try. So it could be anything from cooking workshops, pub quizzes, rock climbing, photography courses, all sorts of things. And it's a win-win situation, because even if you come away having not met anyone, you've still had a great evening, great afternoon, doing something that you love. And it's not just the men that you can meet while you're doing these things, it's also the women, because they can introduce you to guys that are in their life that maybe they think you'd be a really good fit for. So make a list of all the things that you love to do that will have you meeting people. And then have a look at your list and pick the thing that speaks to your heart the most, and then choose to do that activity in the next 4 weeks. Put it in your diary, make a proper commitment, and go along and just see what happens. So that wraps up our 5 tips on how to get started with dating the loving way. To hear more from us, head over to loveprojectlove.com, where you'll find more of our podcasts and blog posts. And of course, we're on the Frame blog. There's a few posts from us there, so be sure to check those out. And last but not least, head over to loveprojectlove.com/get-ready-for-love, and you'll find all the information on our course and how to sign up.
As this is a special podcast for our friends at Frame, if you plug in Frame Love when you're checking out, we'll also give you a special little discount.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast show. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're feeling stuck in your love life and finding dating to be frustrating and exhausting, then come and join Get Ready for Love, our 30-day online course to transform your love life.
As well as having us, Selena and Vicky, as your co-pilots throughout your journey, bringing you a lesson every day and videos and audio tutorials bursting with energy and love, you'll also be welcomed into our private Facebook group, The Love Zone, where you can hang out with like-minded women and ask for help and guidance whenever you need it.
It really is gorgeous in there. Head over to loveprojectlove.com/get-ready-for-love to sign up.
And if you'd like to find out more about love coaching with me, Vicky, then head to coaching and courses over on loveprojectlove.com.